For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We just finished our workouts for today a little bit ago, and we'll have the final one of the week tomorrow. So we got started in school on obviously the 13th, and we went right to work that day, and we get to work with our team up to 4 hours a week in this preseason time, and then there's another 4 hours that can be allotted for strength, conditioning, speed training, meetings, things of that nature. So you get up to 4 hours of basketball. So we're right away at that. We went full team today. We'll go full team tomorrow. Most of the time, we either have half the team in one group and then bring the other half in, or we go in groups, three different groups. But we're just trying to mix it up. But I think the most important thing to me is to not have it feel like practice has started, but most importantly, that they feel like there's a lot of improvement that they can focus on. And because it's such a long season that you don't want it to be drudgery, so we try to really mix it up, and we were fantastic today. I was really excited the way they went today.
Coach Green, Jeff Dantzler here. One of the things that fascinates me about you, going back to really learning about you with that 2003 Final Four run to Marquette with the great Dwayne Wade, and then marrying into the Harbaugh family. I know Christmases are busy with them, but a Final Four coach, two Super Bowl coaches. I mean, when you guys get together, I can't imagine the conversations. Who's talking to you guys, fighting for airtime with each other? How's the backyard competition? That has to be just an unbelievable scene.
Well, first off, if Jim's there, there's not going to be any athletic event, because he's got to win it, and it's win at any cost, not just at all costs, but at any cost. So I learned a long time ago, I'm not playing two-on-two or one-on-one with him. But the conversations are fun. They're ongoing. They're very rarely are they in person. You know, most of the time it's on the phone or it's through texting. And like one thing that's become kind of cool as of late, I don't know why we never thought of this before, but there's a group text between Joni's dad, Jack, who is a phenomenal coach. The last game he ever coached, he won a national championship at Western Kentucky. And then Jim, John, and myself are in a group text. And I think that's really cool. So, like, we'll come up with some good stuff, and John threw some good stuff out there today. And that's kind of the thrill of it. You know, it's an ongoing friendship, and it's ongoing learning with each other. But yet the most important thing is that everybody wants the other person to succeed at such a high level. And they welcomed me into that a long, long time ago. We just entered our 25th year of marriage. And it's phenomenal to be a part of that family.
Coach, before Chris asks you another question, our buddy Kevin Butler, who was Harbaugh's old teammate in Chicago, said if you wanted to rib him, ask him about the games of gin he used to lose to Ditka. So just fire that file that one away next time he starts giving you some grief, okay?
Oh, I will, because I've never heard of him losing anything when it came to some
apparently
type of competition.
Kevin told me Ditka used to clean him out playing gin on road trips. So just file that one away.
There you go.
I will. I'll use it. I'll definitely use it.
Well, Coach, the schedule comes out today, and I got to tell you, the first thing that jumped out to me with it is that you're not going to have to play consecutive road games at any point during conference play, which seems to be a pretty nice feature of any schedule. And I have to go back-to-back on the road and say beat someplace on a Wednesday night and then have to turn right back around and go somewhere else on a Saturday.
No, I hadn't realized that until we had a press conference earlier, and one of the writers brought that up, and I didn't even realize that. I hadn't looked that far into it. I've had trouble getting past those first five games. Really, it's six when you think about the fact that we turn around from playing Auburn on a Saturday the 12th, Kentucky and Florida at home on the 15th and 19th, and then we got to go to LSU on the 23rd before Texas comes back in. So bottom line to me is this schedule is going to be incredibly challenging no matter what. I mean, you're going to have to put there's very little margin for error for us right now anyways, and now it becomes that much more noticeable when you get into the league, and the league is as good as it is. But, I mean, I think our guys are they're going to be excited about it. I mean, there's no question it's a formidable deal. But at the same time, you want to find out where you stand, and we're going to find out very early in this league where we stand and what we've got to get better at and what it's going to take to win in it.
Coach Creed, one of the big concerns the last couple of years has been consistent play at the point. Let's talk about some areas where Georgia's good. I look at that front line with Nick Claxton, Rayshon Hammonds, and Derek Ogbede leading the way. Georgia's got a chance to have one of the better front lines in the SEC.
I agree with you on that. I mean, and I don't know the league that well yet, right in the midst of studying it. You know, when you're during the season and being with TV, I got a chance to watch a lot, but I didn't get to study it as in-depth because I didn't have as many games, and now it's really trying to study it. And we just got to evaluate every day, you know, what's going to give us the best chance to win. Is it going to be a three-guard lineup? Is it going to be a two-guard lineup? Is it going to be a big lineup? We've got so many different options right now, size-wise. Now, I say that, and we haven't – nobody has scored in double figures that's coming back on this team. And, in fact, last year, obviously, there was just one double-figure score at 20 a game in Yonte. But – we're hoping to build versatility. You know, we're hoping that some of that front line can be really good on the perimeter. We're hoping that we become a team that really makes each other better with the pass and with the way they move without the ball, not just with having the ball. And we've got to evaluate that every day, and we've got to praise where we stand every day and what it's going to take to win those games. And the same thing goes with the point position. What gives us the best chance to advance the ball, to make the best decisions, to have the fewest turnovers but still can score points and play at a fast pace? So right now we're just completely in a development building, trying to see what we have. Today I mixed up teams when we had three groups of 5-on-5. So we had three groups that we could play 5-on-5 with. And that's what we've got to get to. I will say this. I don't know what it's going to be like when it comes to size or who's going to play as much where, but we have got to rebound the ball. And that probably concerns me as much as anything else moving forward. Are we going to have enough people that really understand how important defensive and offensive rebounding is on this team?
Talking with Georgia basketball coach Tom Crean, and coach, you mentioned there a fast pace, and I was going to ask you what kind of an offense and team will fans see out of you? Because in the past, I mean, Georgia's been kind of a slower tempoed kind of outfit, and how will your offense look?
Well, we don't want to be that. You know, I've never really coached that, and a lot of it comes down to, are the players committed to playing the speed that they have to play at without the turnovers? You know, I've had teams that were good at taking care of the ball, and you're going to play fast, there's going to be some turnover. So I don't get as worked up as some coaches might, or as some fans might, or people in the media, you know, when there's certain turnovers, because sometimes that's going to happen. You don't want them playing, you know, tentative, but you can't play reckless either. You can't play reckless. You can't play ridiculous. You've got to play as sharp and as efficient as you can. So some of our speed is going to be dictated by that. And I think the biggest thing for us right now, night in and night out, is going to be, okay, how are we going to keep movement in this game? How are we going to keep five people moving? How are we going to score if we're not making threes? Because my teams, over a period of time, have never led the league in three-point attempts, but we've been up there as league leaders. And, in fact, over a nine-year period of time, we led the power conferences in three-point percentage. And so that's going to take a little bit of time. We're working really hard at that. But we've got to be able to score. So there's going to be a lot of cutting, a lot of movement, flashes into the post, post-ups, a lot of multiple ball screens. You know, as much five-man movement as our skill level will allow is what we've got to have. And then we got to be great on the break. We've got to get defensive boards. We've got to be very, very good at limiting people to one shot. We've got to create some turnovers, no question about it. We've got to mix our defenses. But then we want to get out and take advantage of the break without turnovers. And obviously the team that gets the most easy baskets and the team that gets to the foul line the most is usually the team that's going to win the majority of the games. And we got to figure out how to be that team.
Yep. Hey, Coach, Adam Wynn here. You know, when you were starting to get to know the players, starting to get to know the team, what was something that you saw that just really excited you? When you started to work with these guys, the better you got to know them, what was something that jumped out at you and maybe made you say, hey, this is what I want to see from a new team?
Attitude. Attitude and desire to be in the gym. I mean, no question about it. And really hungry. These are, and again, I know we haven't doled out any playing time yet, and I know that that can change things. But when it comes to the character of the people, when it comes to the way that Coach Fox and the staff recruited people here, phenomenal people, all right? And that doesn't mean they're going to be happy with me every day or me happy with them, but they're excellent young men. And the bottom line is they come into work. We're trying to challenge them. We had days this summer where our mental toughness to be able to lift weights and run and train in the morning and come back in the afternoon and have a workout left a lot to be desired, but they had to learn that there's a mental toughness that you've got to have to go with your physical strength that's going to create the endurance and the determination that you've got to have to overcome things. And we don't have the background of being together through a season or going through games. So we've got to try to create that as we go. And getting them to play through adversity, getting them to share in it, really, you know, somehow we haven't really hit that as much yet. We haven't really gotten to the point where we really help each other through the tough things. And we've got to grow into that, because right now when it gets tough, we get quiet. And we work, and we try to finish, and we try to get through it, but we get quiet. We don't really push the other person through it competitively or help that other person through it encouragement-wise yet. And I don't think that doesn't say anything bad about them as people. It's just that they don't understand the value of that yet. So we've really got to get to that.
Coach, you kind of hit on a thing, and it's interesting when you talk about getting out and running. A defensive rebounding is the key, and a not rebounding defensively is the greatest sin in basketball. You get in foul trouble, the other guy gets easy looks, the other guy goes to the line. But you want to get those guards out running. You want to get good numbers. It can be tough to balance that sometimes, getting the numbers and also controlling the defensive glass.
Oh, no doubt about it. Our biggest rule of thumb with defensive rebounding, because when your guards rebound, you got a really good chance to win. And we set numbers for those guards to hit. And I'm not ready to say what that is yet, because I don't know yet with this team, because I don't know where we're at with that. But we want to get five people inside the free throw line area, inside that area that are either blocking out, going for the guard rebound, the long rebound, and then get out and go. And we want to build a team that has numerous guys that can push it on the break. So the more the guards get it, the more we just skip an outlet. And like I told the team, I told them this last weekend, there's a couple things that you have to earn. You have to earn the ability to bring the ball up against the break, and you also have to earn the ability to shoot the corner three, even though we spend a lot of time in the corner. Those are not just shots we just take or everybody just takes off. We want to build that. Well, we're working towards building that. But like I said earlier, if we're not committed to that glass, to being physical, to hitting first, to creating some leverage, we're not going to be as good. And if we've got guys that don't want to get their nose in there, inside that lane to rebound, it's going to be hard to play them, because we've got a good size front line. We're not an overly physical team yet. We still have a lot of thin guys, even though they did a really good job this summer getting stronger. You know, we don't have what you would call many physically strong guards right now. They're getting better in it, and they play quick and fast. Jordan Harris might be the one that comes closest to that. But with all that being said, that's not an excuse. We got to figure out a way to work through it. We got to figure out a way to be better. And that defensive glass can negate a lot of advantages for the other team if you're committed to block it out and committed to having five people in that paint.
Talking with Georgia basketball coach Tom Crean. Coach, I want to ask you about the series against Tech, and I don't even know if it's something you've given a lot of long-term thought to yet. Like last year, they came here to Athens on a Tuesday night. The game tipped off at 9 o'clock. I love that the game this year is on a Saturday. It's a couple
great
days
time
before Christmas. Is there some thought for the future of having a consistent time and day that game is played, maybe even going back to playing it like Phillips Arena or Gwinnett Arena or anything like that?
Well, I think the timing's got to change, and we're talking about that. We want the timing to be one where it's going to be a big deal. That's a big deal game. It's a big deal to both fan bases. It should be a big deal to television. And we want to have it at a very opportune time for students and fans. So we're looking at moving it. We're not ready to say yet when, because we haven't totally defined when it's going to be, but I think it's going to be earlier in the year in a sense of where people can really get behind it. And we haven't talked about the Phillips Arena part yet. I know there's been some talk about you know, the home and away, and then and taking it in there. So we'll have to see. You know, it's like start times for games right now. I defer to the people that have been here on what's going to work best versus just what I like best. And I think as we go down the line, you know, we'll see, okay, what allows us schedule-wise to be able to take it to another arena, and where are we at in our home game situations and things of that. So that is a priority game, no doubt about it. It's going to remain a priority game for both schools, and we want to just keep putting it in a place where it's a really big deal because that's the time of year it's being played in.
Coach, you know, it's funny. You're talking about guards rebounding, and I just think about the evolution of basketball. You know, when we were coming up, you had the center, you had the power forward, you had your two wings and your point guard. Well, now they're big guys that bring the ball down the floor. Your guards are rebounding. I think when you look at the metamorphosis of the game, so much is made of the three-point line going into the three-point shot, but the three-point miss has been just as big a factor with the long misses. That means your guards have to rebound more. It really is staggering how much the game has changed. You know, you think back when you were a kid first coming up watching basketball and what we see today, which again gets back to something you talked about, just having the versatility, and great teams have a lot of guys who can do a lot of things well.
I totally agree with you. And I changed the year before, or the year we won our last Big Ten championship in Indiana, because we won two inside of 4 years. Well, in between, we'd gotten beat in the NCAA tournament to Wichita State. So basically, the way they were offensive rebounding with Fred VanVleet, who plays for the Raptors now, I believe he's still with the Raptors,
yeah,
they were sending guys basically from areas. And I looked at that and studied it, and we had a really, really good, strong, tough guard, Yogi Ferrell, who's getting ready to enter his third year in the NBA now. And we did that. We changed it. So it wasn't just the point guard is back or this guy's back. If you were in the slot area or below, meaning the corner, the wing, that just off the pro lane area, you were a threat to go to the glass. And whether you came in from behind it, whether you came in across the top, whether you came in from downhill, whatever it was, you got to be a threat to the board because there's so many long rebounds. And, again, we're not trying to lead – the country or the league in attempts. We're trying to lead it in percentage, but you got to have some freedom to shoot it. And we've got to have a group of guys here that can shoot the ball, which means if we're going to have a five-man group that is not only going to be one guy at the block or two guys at the block every time, then we've got to be able to sprint to that glass on the offensive end. And that's something that we're now starting to focus on them with. We started that this week. Because, again, like I said, I'm not trying to have it feel like practice every day in here, but we've got to start getting that mindset that it doesn't matter if you're Tyree Crump, it doesn't matter if you're Nick Claxton or anybody in between. You have rebounding responsibility either because you're all going to be in it in the defensive end or because of where you're at on the offensive end.
Coach, it was notable a couple of days ago, the NCAA saying they're getting rid of the RPI as a metric for the selection committee. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, And full disclosure, I have not even looked at the new part of it yet. I have it in some stack of stuff to look at over the next couple of days, but I've seen that it was changed, but I didn't look at the parameters or the math on how it's being done. But I know when you got guys like Bruce Rasmussen, who's the AD at Creighton, when you got Dan Gavitt with the NCAA, when you've got some of the smart people around there on the selection committee or on the basketball committee, and they're looking at what really matters, you know that they put a lot of time into it. So I think that stuff is important. The one thing that I didn't understand, which I've got to dive into, is where does the whole margin of victory thing come up? But I think in this situation, it'll be something. Study it, make some calls, see what people think, see what the Joe Lunardis of the world think and people like that, and then kind of see how we would view it.
Well, I mean, do you like the idea of incorporating a margin of victory in there? Because what I read is it looks like they're going to cap it at 10 points or something, and I'd prefer just go all in on margin of victory because I think that's incredibly meaningful.
So basically what they're saying, Coach, is that there's no difference between winning by 11 and winning by 30. And Chris and I, we're both big margin of victory guys.
Well, you know, point differential is a huge thing in success. It doesn't matter if it's the NBA.
Sure.
It doesn't matter if it's college basketball. It's a huge thing. And, You know, I would look at it two ways, okay? Because the political way would say, well, you know what? We don't want to do that because we want to be good sports, and we don't want to overly worry about it and run up the score. But the real reality of it is most people don't really care, right? And a great fallacy is when people start talking about this brotherhood of coaching or things like that. That all sounds good. That's not really realistic. You know, it's certainly not realistic when you're in these recruiting battles, and it's not realistic at times when you're playing games. Now, you'd like to think it is, but I think whatever it is, it's what everybody's going to have to accept, including the fans and the media, right? Because it's really easy to be trying to score points, and I think we've already lived it with football. You know, we've lived it where people wish they'd have scored more points. So if we're good and looking at it and say, okay, by us trying not to score as many points, I mean, I had early on in my time at Marquette, we're playing a great team, number one team in the country, okay? We're down 28. We're going to lose the game, okay? There's no question about that. There's 16 seconds left in the game. A timeout was called to run an out-of-bounds alley-oop lob, right? And like in this, like that really bothered me at the time. But in this day and age, I'm not even sure that would faze me. I'd be more mad that we didn't stop the play.
Right.
So I'm good either way, but if it becomes margin of victory and they lay it out there, great. But if it's 10, I mean, it's still point differential, still going to be the difference. It's going to be one of the key components of statistics. It's going to be the difference for people.
Coach, who are a couple of bands you like, a couple of singers? Give us a little musical taste for you.
Oh, I can go a lot of different directions there. My daughter asked me that question yesterday when I was taking her to school. Starts with U2. Okay, I like those type of groups. Coldplay. My wife has gotten my 13-year-old into 80s on 8. So on Sirius Radio.
Go.
So that
oh, yeah.
gets it rolling, right? That brings back a bunch of memories.
Absolutely.
The video days. That, yeah. Those were the best, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But I like, you know, I've always liked Luke Bryan, Rascal Flatts, Tim McGraw. I like country. I bet the music that I listen to the most would be Christian music. And so it would probably be the top 20, 30, 40 Christian bands that are played either on Sirius or on the radio, the Matthew West, the David Crowder bands, the Michael W. Smiths, you know, those type of people. So I got a lot of taste. I try to be relevant and know some things. I know I better know a lot about Migos living here and living in my family.
Yeah,
I better know.
He'll be at the games.
I got my first text from Quavo the other day. So I felt like I've had two big-time texts since I've been here. Luke Bryan on the day I got the job and Quavo the other day. So
that's
I'm living large right now.
I mean, you could say – you could plead the fifth, but can you – what exactly does Quavo text you? I'm just – if you want to plead the fifth, plead the fifth, but that's okay.
Well, we had a mutual person that connected us. And so my daughter actually helped with that because a person that used to work for Joni's brother Jim at Michigan now is in another line of work. And actually, he texted me, and he was at Michigan that day because they were playing a concert in Detroit that night. So we talked about a couple of players. I think he not only knows the game, he knows where the players are.
So you're getting a scouting report.
There you go.
All right.
Little bit. Yeah, I haven't met him yet, but that'll come. I mean, you kidding me with the people we're going to meet in Georgia? It's unbelievable. I'm going to take pictures, want autographs. I mean, it doesn't matter to me.
America's greatest college town, Coach. By the way, Hawaii Doggo was pretty awesome too, wasn't it?
It was fun. It really was.
That's cool.
It was a lot of fun. And I thought I've never seen better bargains for some of the most incredible gifts at an auction.
Memorabilia. And, lights out.
Yeah. And next year there's no reason whatsoever that those things are really good prices. They should go at a much higher price because it's such a great cause. But I loved being there. I thought that was a lot of fun, and I know it was important to Cheryl McGarity. She had asked a long time ago when I first got here, and we made it happen.
No, it really is to benefit the vet school. Well, Coach, hopefully Kirby's going to lead the Dogs to a national championship here this year, and Coach Crean and Coach Joni Taylor's basketball Bulldogs will be in the Final Four. That's the goal.
Well, we're watching a heck of a blueprint with what he's doing there.
No question.
There is no doubt about it.
No doubt, Coach.
It's awesome to be this close to seeing it.
Don't forget to remind your brother-in-law about those gin games with Ditka.
Oh, no, I'm not going to forget that. Because he loved Kevin Butler now. I mean, he was thought his Kevin
holder.
Butler was.
Yeah.
I mean, he loved him. So I will definitely use that one.
Well, Coach, we appreciate
it. Just when I need it. It's the right time.
Yeah, hold that one. Put that one in the chamber.
Yeah, file
there.
That away for a real special time.
Exactly.
Well, Coach,
exactly.
We appreciate your time. Awesome. And we'll look forward to chatting again somewhere down the road. And
sure.
Have a good weekend.
Anytime. Thanks. You guys have a great weekend.
Thanks,
too.
Coach.
Thank you.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.